November 25th, Sharmani Didi Vainu Geet.
Chastity and consideration for society just come. This is all within their remark of transcendental envy, which is sanchari God. Envy, humility, feeling like death or wanting to take a different birth. These are all called sanchari God. There's which is temporary mood. There's the permanent mood of the gopi, which is their sky above. All your devotees, all living entities have a sky above, or a permanent foundational relationship with Krishna, either as a servant, or a mother, or a friend, or a beloved. And then that foundational permanent ecstasy, or a combination of ecstasy, is like an ocean. Did it. And then within that ocean, there are waves that come up, swell, make the ocean swell, and then they go down into the ocean again, and another wave comes. So these waves are called sanchari God. And there are moves that facilitate, enhance, and make swell their foundational permanent ecstasy in a particular, which is their particular relationship. So, all these expressions that the other residents of Vrindavan were fortunate in us, these are, and they express envy, resentment, anger, humility that our birth is totally useless, our head is useless, if I don't have any food, so our head might as well be matched by a tentacle. These are the sanchari gods. Sanchari gods of the gopis, other than Radharani, is also their mood of friendship to Radharani, called Sukrit Rati. The natural Rati of everyone in Vrindavan is Krishna Rati, because Krishna is the healer of Samyutta Sindhu. He is the ocean of all relationships. Akila means he is the center, the ocean, the reservoir. Rasa Amrita. Sindhu means ocean, Amrita means nectar of rasa. He is the center of the ocean of all painful, mellow relationships. So when the gopis, who are in the Nuri Rat, that's their Saiva, dying steady. They're not going to change to Saiva, they're not going to change to Saiva, but their Sanchari Vas change, the waves in that ocean make it swell, and then they go under it again. So their Sukrit Rati, or their friendship mood, always thinking of the welfare of Radharani, and trying to please Radharani, that is less than their Krishna Rati, because Krishna is centered. When their Sukrit Rati goes almost up to their Krishna Rati, or it even becomes equivalent to their Krishna Rati, then their Sukrit Rati is called a sanchari vas. It's a wave that makes the ocean of the Krishna Rati swell. It is, and it really swells. Yes. So, does everybody understand that so far? Just two words, sanchari vas and sky vas. Now, within Vajrayana Rati, there's a special, unique feature which is only owned, embodied by, and experienced by the Mudra. And this move is called Bhava-Ulas-Rati. Rati means like a breath. Ulas means great exhilaration. So, the Mudras also have Sudhi-Rati, or friendship, towards Radharani. But their Sukhi-Rati, which generally is a Sanjariva, or a wave in the ocean, of their Saiva, of Madhurya, because their Sukhi-Rati exceeds their Krishna-Rati, their friendship towards Radharani exceeds their attachment to Krishna. And because of their ever-increasing absorption in their Sruti-Rati towards Srimati Radhika, that wave of the Sanchari Bhava becomes so great that it becomes the ocean itself. So whereas for the other gopis, like Lalita Vishaka and so on, Surya Rati is a Sanchari Bhava, or a wave in the ocean, of their Krishna Rati and Madhurya Rati. For the Madhuri, it becomes their actual Sai Bhava. So the Sai Bhava of the Madhuri is a unique feature of Madhurya Rati that's only within them, and that Sai Bhava is called Bhava-Ulas Rati, or their mood of total dedication to Radharani. So Gurudev explains this in his Bhakti commentary. He also says that whereas yesterday and the day before we were explaining the verse, not we were explaining, I was telling you about Gurudev's explanation and show this not talking about Thakur's explanation. That there were three levels of understanding the verse number 7, which the Sadhu was saying. So sing it with me. Moods of the gopis and the moods of the Manjaris. wash your hands with very soft earth mixed with camphor and flower grapes. But they'll do it in such a way that they know how Krishna's touch feels. So they'll do it in such a way to, like a udipan or a stimulus, to serve Radharani in her remembrance of her pastimes with Krishna and her feelings and relationship to him. So now we discuss how the gopis want to take birth as bamboo, as a deer, as a cow, as a cowboy, as the cow, as a cat, as a little girl, as a bird, thinking that their birth is most unfortunate. And thinking, for example, in relation to food, that Radharani is specifically thinking that if I was to die, which is no purpose in having this life anyway, and I was to take birth as a bamboo and drink my mother's milk, my mother now is the river. The bamboo doesn't see the river's water as water, but as milk, as a baby takes mother's milk. And surely, Krishna will think, my beloved Radharani, feeling great separation from me, has now taken birth as a bamboo. So I will surely place her as my bamboo food on my hand, so that she can continually drink my other amrita. All of these are the gopis' moods, but because they are Krishna's Madini Shakti, his power, he and his power are fully absolute. So whatever they're thinking, although it's just their unma, their transcendental complete madness, still it is the absolute reality. Their moods are the absolute reality. Strange. Everything is full of contradictions. But those contradictions all reside together in complete harmony. For example, described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that just as Krishna is full of contradictions, his existence, that they all harmonize. Like he had no birth, but he became the son of Mahasoda. He's far, far away and very near to all. He has no hands to accept his devotee's offering. Similarly, his love, being non-different from him, is also the embodiment of harmonious contradiction. For example, Radharani's love is supremely pure, yet at the same time, it's unlimitedly crooked. Her love is unlimited, and so there's no place for it to grow because it's already extended to the unlimited degree. But still, it's growing unlimitedly at every moment. So, on one hand, the gopis' moods are all in total complete, full of contradictions, madness. And at the same time, they're the ultimate reality and goal of life to serve them. So now we're on text 18. And you've all heard the glories of Sri Giriraj Govardhan during Kartik in the words of the two Gurudev. Now you're born. And I love you. best of all the devotees of Sri Hari. And so he's called, or devotees of Hari Dev, Sri Hari Dev. How fortunate is he indeed? Have you not seen how elated he becomes to obtain the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is dear to us in our very life? And those of Sri Bhavadev, who is the source of the light in the eye, that it is late to get a touch of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Who can adequately describe his fortune? Just see how graciously he receives all the cows and carriageways, friends of Krishna and Balaram. He supplies cool, clear, and sweet water for their bathing and their drinking. Soft green grass for the cows. By the way, just for your information, Krishna never grazes the cows. He never goes cow grazing. Isn't that interesting? Because graze means to eat or to munch. So he never goes cow eating, and he never eats cows. He takes the cows out of the grazing and he tends cows. So he supplies cool, clear, and sweet water for bathing and drinking, and soft green grass for the cows to graze. And he supplies caves for them all to rest in, and fruits and roots for them to eat. Truly, this Giriraj Govardhan is blessed. And in the first word here, Srila Gurudev discusses the many meanings of the of each word. Hunta, alas, alas. And abala means that we're very weak. We can't leave our chastity. We can't leave our shyness. We can't leave our consideration of what society will think. So what's the use of our life? We wish that we could take birth. We want to take birth as this one little tiny stone on Giriraj Govardhan. Hunta can be said in excess of joy, alas, alas, or it can be said in extreme sorrow, and it's in extreme sorrow that the gopis are saying it. They're thinking, even though they see Krishna at every moment, the nature of their anurag, the nature of anurag, which is one of the stages of praying. So you know there's praying, sneha, man, janaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahava. So anurag means that even though the associate of Krishna sees him all the time, they're always thinking this is the first time that I'm seeing him. I've never seen him before. This is because the temple himself, who is Nitya Navana Vayamana, always knew, knew, knew. So he always looks like a new person. And it's also because of the nature of anurag. So even though the gopis have already done Rasalila with Krishna, and they see him day and night, they still have a sentiment of purva rag, that is, the feeling of separation from Krishna with longing to meet before having had intimacy with Krishna. So they're thinking here, we never have the opportunity to be with Krishna. And Krishna is always playing on Govardhan. He's always dancing on Govardhan. He's always taking the fruits from Govardhan. Like if I want to offer Krishna the fruits, offering his own body. We can't offer our body as a food here to Krishna to enjoy. But Govardhana then shows also that he is in Madhurya Ras. Because only in Madhurya Ras can the associates where totally walls are all broken down, and one can offer all of his senses for Krishna directly to enjoy. So they're describing how Giriraj Govardhana is Hari Das Varja, the best of the servants of Sri Hari Dev. And then Srila Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are three Hari Das. Who can say who are the three Hari Das of you? You didn't hear? Why? Okay, good. Yudhisthira is Haridas because he is relative of Krishna. He's the older cousin brother of Krishna. And he's so near and dear servant to Krishna that Krishna actually is so controlled by him that he goes to his house, maybe other places, he goes to the palace of King Yudhisthira. And Narada Muni goes to the festival not to see Krishna, but to see the glory of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So he's Haridasa. And who is Haridasa Bhara? That means the great, like we utter in our Jayavani. Bhakti Pramada Pravada. Sri Pramada Maharaj is that. Vada means great. So who is Haridasa Bhad, the great devotee of Hari?
Uddhava.
Yes. Why? Because in all of Matra, Krishna found only Uddha qualified to go to Vrindavan, not to pacify the Vrindavan, but although that was ostensibly why he sent them, but because only he felt was qualified to learn, to enter into the school of the gopis where Radharani is the principal and the headmasters are Lalita and Vishakha. To learn the meaning of the 2.5-letter word called praying, so that he could come back, and having learned it, Krishna could express his mood of separation. Because unless you can express yourself to somebody, it just keeps you up, doesn't it? And then when you can express it and somebody understands it, you feel relieved just by their understanding. Feel validated and understood and appreciated. So Krishna, where does that desire come from? Janma and Yogya, everything has an origin to the truth. Because of that, of course, you couldn't get in. You couldn't have an answer to something. But at least he would become most qualified. And Krishna told him that he considered him even more dear to him than Lakshmi, than Balaram, than his own self. And so he was sending him to meet, he said, I'm sending you to meet our mother and father, meaning he was accepting Buddha as his brother. So they have these great qualifications, but above all, Govardhana is Haridasa Bharya, the best of the servants of Sri Haridev. Because he served in so many ways without being impeded by opulence. That's why Buddha could not get into school. Because he had somewhat of a mood of opulence being from Mathura. So he could not understand that although we have no self-interest in our loving relationship with Krishna, and he has no self-interest, how is it that he just could walk away and give the whole thing up? We know that so many creatures have self-interest in their relationships. Like a student has a self-interest in going to learn from the teacher. So after he gets his diploma, do you think he ever comes back? 99% of the time, no. He's got what he wanted and he goes. And so many other examples they give. The birds take shelter in the forest. But if the forest has some problem, like there's a forest fire, the birds just get up and go. They couldn't care less about helping the forest. So us, Krishna, had a relationship without self-interest. How is it that he could just leave us and not return? So Uddhava could simply scratch his head and couldn't give the answer. He couldn't pass the entrance examination. Whereas Giriraj Govardhan, he is actually, according to Shastra, the manifestation of Krishna's, of Radharani's heart. So that makes him also non-male. But the male cannot enter into places where Radha and Krishna are enjoying their most confidential pastime. So they're enjoying their most confidential pastimes in the cave of Govardhan and in the kunjas of Govardhan. Raghunath Das Goswami prays, Pramada Madana Leela Kandare Kandare De Rochayitam Navajanor Dandamasmin Namandam Yitikila Kavanarga Lajnatas Tavshayone Nijanikatine Vasam Deiro Murdam. You're always experiencing unlimited ecstasy, having Krishna playing on your chest, within your body, in your cave and kunjas. So please give me a residence near you so that I can also witness their pastimes. So Radha Krishna and the gopis are forming their loving pastime in the cave. And he takes the form of a cave, part of him takes the form of a cave, due to the fact that he's stunned by the stone. And also due to the fact that if he was standing there and watching like a person, then the pastime would be disturbed. Radha Krishna has to know that there's nobody there. So he's there in the form of stone, so that they don't feel any embarrassment and can go on serving them by providing their beautiful bed with flowers, very cool flowers, jeweled lamps, just to restore his own body. And Krishna drinks the water. Cows also drink the water from Krishna. Can you imagine? He drinks after the cows. First the cows drink, and then he drinks the rest of the after. So he drinks the water from the Madhya Ganga. He gives all the body, the perspiration of Giriraj Govardhan. So in this way, the gopis are wishing that they could take birth as a small stone and grow it up. Then we come to the last and final verse, which is 7:19. Oh, Gurudev mentions here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Govardhan as Krishna himself. Why? Because he Krishna and Mother Radharani. So we see Govardhana and Mother Radharani as his beloved. And then he gave this Govardhana Shiva to Radhanath Sarasvati and instructed him how to worship with Tulsi Mandiris and water from the Ganges. And Radhanath Sarasvati saw, and he also gave him Krishna Mala. So Radhanath Sarasvati saw Giriraj as Haridasa Marga, because for the devotee, it's more important for us to see Giriraj as a servant of Hari, so that he can give his servant his servant's food. Krishna doesn't have servant's food himself, he is the object of the service. So it's more valuable for us to see Giriraj as Haridasa Marga. But he doesn't think the heart of Radharani. He saw that Krishna himself assumed a large form on Govardhana and said, Anayora, I'm more, give those to be unsatisfied now. So now number 19 is the final word. No, it's not.
It's the
final word at all.
No, I think there's 20 verses.
20. Just like we see it when you went to the pastime places of Krishna and Radharani Karti and read the stories in the book or movies or the devotees told the stories. There's so much joking among the sadhus. And like one pastime when Radharani and the gopis were going to cook in Nanda Bhavan. Nandigal. Lavita says, oh, there's Krishna over there in this cow. And calves and coward boys. Let's not go that way, because you can never tell what mischief he's going to do. And Radharani says, what can he do? I'm sure he's going to be father. He can't do anything to us. So they went that way, down where Krishna was. And in the meantime, he was looking at his cow squirting milk right in his face. And everybody laughed except her. So why did I know that?
Hidden meaning.
Huh?
Hidden meaning.
Right. So she doesn't say love is going to be shot. No, I have a senior person. I can't bear to be, an inch shepherd from my own shoulder. And rather, way. He hides from me, says Akbar. Because in matters of praying, the nature of praying is crooked like a snake. And if it's not, it's not praying. If somebody says, oh, I love you so much, or you come to my house, and I tell you, I know that you like that food in Kalaba. So I especially went out to get it for you and give it to them and cook it for you. So as soon as anybody talks like this, immediately he's trained into third class and whatever he has, he can do. Rather than just say, I'm not making this to you, I was gift. Chapel is burning in a doorway. It evaporates from the tree. But it's burning inside another door. Then it gets pregnant and more and more again. So everything is real. So again, we are going to be talking about Krishna and Bhagavan in the sense of the. So another Gopi says, O Sakhi, the movements of these two youths, Krishna and Bhagavan, one dark and one fair, shall more, concerned for the meek. On their turbans, they have robes up, one kind of rope for binding the legs of the cows in the time of milking. So they don't run away, obviously, when they're trying to milk them. And sometimes they also put their calf there, so they're satisfied with their calf. Then they hang another. So this rope that they tie the legs of the cow in order to milk them, that's rolled up in their turban. And then there's another kind of rope which hangs on their shoulders. And that rope is for catching the cow by grasping when the cows run away. They play on their flute and sing sweet songs with the cowherd boys as they lead cows from one farm to another. At such times, to say nothing of the human being, even the other living entities such as the animals and birds, as well as the river, become stunned, and non-moving trees shiver in ecstasy. A spontaneous judgment of self. Everybody's nature becomes the opposite. What more shall I tell you of the extraordinary wonder of the truth? So as mentioned, the trees weep in ecstasy, and that takes the form of honey-like sap dripping from them, and they immediately sprout so many new blossoms of flowers and shiver in ecstasy, and naturally smooth-flowing river has whirlpools or just become solid. And the deer, which usually run away from everybody, runs toward Krishna and offers the worship, who guards the door, Kamalokamala, with the rosy flower-like eyes. They offer the worship of their loving glances. So now the gopis are talking about these two roads, and they call them yoga path, and yoga means linking. So they're knowing motives and intentions for doing everything. And everything he does is just to attract gopis. Like a person, as you mentioned the other day, you're going around and you're very much shooting, you hold up a camera, shoot bees, maybe there's 15 guys there doing different poses. They don't care about the poses, they just care about making pictures. So Krishna's real interest in doing anything he does, either raising up the rest of the cow, swirling the flame like this, putting his hand around the shoulders of the man. just don't really say to the old people, look at me, how beautiful I am, don't you wish that you could be me? Please. You know how boys are. So pray me that way, what is it? So now the old people know why Krishna has these ropes. And they also, these ropes like that, that these ropes are leaking. We also want to be tied to Krishna by these ropes of love. Now I'll ask, are there any questions and comments? And then we'll finish going through Shirley tomorrow.
Menuki.
Now we'll turn to Arjun.
The question that Guru
Lakshmi
not answer was,
yes. The Gopis asked, since Krishna had no self-interest, and we should have no self-interest, unlike the students, unlike the birds, how is it that Krishna just left us and never returned? He loved us purely, not wanting anything from us, but just loving us. He didn't know the answer. That's why he couldn't have
answered
again. Well, I think he looks about it. So we said that we would find him tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. It is very important to you. Any last questions or comments? Did Donovan would like to share anything with us? Are you ready now, Bill? Are you ready to start now? Huh? How long? A couple minutes. Alright, so we'll discuss this quickly. Why you don't have left in the Donovan? Thank you. comes, we won't be dead, we'll stay alive. There are so many great reasons like that. And then why did you come back at each of the visits? There's so many deep reasons. It's all related to his love for the Gopis and his love for the Gopis. Because he's thinking, you know, the external reason that he didn't come back is that, well, Jarasandha comes back, and if I go to Vrindavan, there's no court in Vrindavan, they kill everybody, not tomorrow, not anybody. All the demons, they know that I am there, but they'll take advantage. But the real reason, well, plus, another reason is that my dwarf parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, they would never give him permission to go. So he'll give him permission to go anywhere else, Ujjain or anywhere, because it's your business. And when you have your business, you can do your business and then come back. But going to Vrindavan was not for business, it was for life, it was for his own life's pleasure, his own nourishment. So they thought that he'd never come back, so they put him to go. So these are all external reasons, but the internal reasons, again, is only information to go to, thinking that, well, if I go there for a visit, and then they experience my words, not immediate, but when you know what's going to happen soon? Imminent departure, then they're ready for the separation. But it's going to be like the person has a cut, an open wound, and you pour lemon and salt on it. It's going to be like that. Or if you have a frying pan and you put a couple of drops of water on it, it just makes it sizzle more. So it will be worse to go if I come back to the visit. So I better not come back at all. Better let them be happy sitting on there and afraid of the small tree. Oh my. Which is our goal of life? He said, when will I take my birth in Vrishabhanapur? When will I be married in Yavik? And when will I go around with a pot of water with the moon on my head, just like a mad woman chanting the glory of Radha? I think it's time, yes? It's time. Thank you, Radha.